Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your...
What did he say? I didn't get the last statement. What did Mike P say?
Fuck him.
I think he did say fuck him. You know what? I was talking to some guys who came by the shop the other day, Phil, and this guy just did 8 months in jail for a drug charge. He didn't sell the drugs, but they had him on RICO and a bunch of other shit. He's facing 20 years, and they gave him a choice, 8 months in jail on a bogus drug charge. He never sold drugs in his life, but they got him on that. He agreed to do that rather than fight a 20-year sentence on RICO. However, boys and girls, you belong to Motorcycle Club. This is the shit you got to deal with. So here's a man in jail, just did 8 months in jail on a drug charge when he doesn't even touch drugs. But plan B was to fight his RICO charges for 20 years. How many people in America are in prison because of shit they didn't do? Who knows?
Too many to count.
Yeah.
I can say my friend was a good boy or a pretty boy or excuse me, a priest or anything. I'm saying for a fact the boy had nothing to do with drugs. He did not sell any drugs of any kind, but they just said, take that or we go after you for 20 years because he's in a club, a bad boy club, and it's the way it is.
Well, you know, Bill, and that when we go live and everything, they're really not sure who we are or where we're at, but this is the Phil and Bill show.
Exactly.
We're coming out of California.
And if we ain't got our friends dialing in, it ain't no show at all.
Exactly.
It's up to our friends to talk to us, yeah.
Exactly. Because we're on every Tuesday and Thursday from 6 to 9.
You do solo work on Tuesdays all by your lonesome, and then you and I kind of team up on Thursday.
That's correct.
And we're in sunny San Diego, boys and girls. Little town of Oceanside.
So what's going on over there, Nora?
There's a Bolingbroke officer that was in jail, and he was charged with a murder of his third wife. It was just, he went yesterday to see if the judge would allow a new trial. He threw that idea out, and he was charged while they did his sentencing. And he is going to serve 38 years. He'll be out at the age of 93. No good behavior.
Yeah, good for him.
You know, I don't want to say, and I don't want anybody to get off of their high horse yelling at me, but women, if you're dating some loser who's been married 3 times in the past, what the hell are you dating the guy for? I'm not saying it's the woman's... I'm not saying that. I'm just saying at some point in time, you got to say, hey, this guy's messed the program up 3 times. I don't want to be the one he messes up 4th time. Girls, you got to be more, a little bit more stand up. You got to do a little more research. You got to say, hey, this guy's wasting my time. Only in my opinion.
Right. Well, the thing is, with this case, it was very odd to begin with. He was married actually 4 times, but they did a second autopsy on the body of his third wife. Came to a different conclusion than what the original one was. So all of a sudden, his 4th wife, she just poof, disappears. Okay? No young mom is going to leave their children, their babies.
No.
It
take,
doesn't
with them.
Happen.
They leave.
Okay?
They won't leave the baby. No, yeah.
Exactly. So then that caused the red flag. And that's what put the eyes on him more intense. So then they found more lies in his stories. He was one of those. It was almost like kind of, he could have almost gotten away with a perfect crime. he acted of the mentality of like a serial killer that just loved the limelight. You never saw that man cry, nothing. He wouldn't go out on searches for his fourth wife. You know, it was just crazy. I'm like, who the hell acts like that? So a few months after his wife went poof, gone, he got a new young girl in his life. And she had, come on, and this was big news here in my state, okay? If that man would approach me, I'd think, get out of here. You know what I mean? This woman was going to move in with him until her family stepped in and get away from that man. Do you know who he is? You know, I mean, that could have been another one. It's crazy how people are. As you said, nobody will check.
I believe you have a right to any privacy or any happiness you can find. But again, if you're a woman, you're dating a guy, he's already been married three times, I think the handwriting's on the wall right there. It ain't going to last. There's so many good men out there, and sometimes I think, I don't want to say women just settle. I know some friends of mine, they tell me I'd rather be with somebody than be by myself. My theory is I think I'd rather be by myself than with somebody that I don't think is up to my par and all that. So I don't know. Every now and then at the motorcycle shop, I get women from different prisons. They send me letters so I can go up there for visitation. However, not sure the wife thinks that's such a good idea, so I don't bring it up to her. But they send me invitations up to come up here, Bill. We can have visits for the weekend with us and all that. And it's very nice of the women. I appreciate that, but I don't know. Well, I got to be with some crazy woman in there, you know, sneak a knife and be up or something. I don't know.
You never know. People are nuts. You know, I mean, it's the bottom line. You don't know unless if you've been around that person enough to know their mannerisms, their personality, everything, you know. I don't know. I don't get it, but, you know.
If you're a woman in prison, you wish to write me at the bike shop, and you want to talk about motorcycle activities, you want to talk about motors, carburetors, whatever you wish to talk about, I'm agreeable to that. I want to share a letter I got from a girl that she wrote me something, and I didn't write her back, and I don't know why. So she wrote me a second letter. She goes, well, I can only guess you saw the movie of the week. First of all, Bill, yes, I did kill that son of a bitch, but let me explain. And I'm thinking, no, you lost me at that. I killed the son of a bitch. I don't want you to know why you killed him, you know. This is not that. I want to, if you want if men and women in prison want to write me, you know, talk about motorcycles, that's okay. I just, I don't have the luxury of opening myself up and getting into letter writing to women in prison. Unless you want to talk about motorcycles, I'm game for that.
Right. Which is understandable.
Huh. I actually get men calling, men write me too, want to know about, think about getting out, can you tell me about the advantage of fuel injection over the carburetor? Think about going fuel injection. And, well, you know, I don't mind talking about that because I realize these guys in prison, it's a change of pace for them. So that's fine with that.
Right.
But let's just talk motorcycles.
Well, you know, I've written some, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it's always been in regards to sports, mechanics, you know what I mean?
Right,
Because you can't go wrong with subjects like that.
Right, yeah. I don't want to get the wrong impression.
You know, a lot of them. Right. I mean, a lot of them, they have, you know, significant others and stuff. So, you know, I always kept it basic, you know. Never asked what they, who cares why they were there. You know, they need a letter sent, so I'm fine, you know. But it's sports mechanics.
No, so I believe that, you know, writing a letter to somebody may be the difference to get them through the day. I just have to be a little concerned because I don't want to come home one day and there's some girl sitting in my living room. Say, hi, Bill. Oh, hi, who are you? I'm Judy. You've been writing me for a long time. Judy, where's my wife, Kathy? I'm afraid Judy's going to say, Kathy won't be joining us tonight, Bill, or any other night. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should just kind of tone that down.
Right.
I want to invite you to a party. You know, I'm always inviting you in parties. I don't know what you're doing for St. Paddy's Day. March 17th, it's a Sunday. down at Kennedy's Custom Cycles, we're going to have a party and a benefit, and the benefits for the Freedom Foundation. And the Freedom Foundation, or the Warrior Foundation, excuse me, is to assist, honor, and support the military and women, service members, personnel who have bravely served their country. They're there to help with housing. They're doing custom motorcycles, plus custom building, custom all kind of stuff. I'm not going to read everything to you. Center is good for transition center. They're trying to make an alcohol and drug-free environment. They're trying to help out these younger veterans, Philip, that nobody paid attention to us
right.
when we came home. So we're going to have a program. It's called the Warrior Foundation. It's well established. We've checked it out many, many times. Philip and I will be talking. And on St. Paddy's Day, March 17th, we're going to have live music, food, vendors, raffles, the usual stuff. We have some radio station people going to be down there. And I didn't mention this to you. This would be kind of a surprise. When they do the motorcycle run, yeah, that's good. What the hell is it called? Rolling Thunder.
Uh-huh.
They have the saluter. Have you heard of the saluter?
Yeah.
The man that said, well, he contacted us today. He said he'd like to come down and salute during the whole event.
Good.
So I'm thinking maybe I'll get some tape or something, tape a big square around so nobody will bump him and all that. He wants standard attention to salute the whole time we're doing the event to bring attention to the vets coming home. So that's kind of nice with that. Because Philip and I want to assist, honor, support all the warriors who fought so bravely. The men and women. Let's not forget the women warriors, too. They served and sacrificed for our country. I'm not sure. It depends on what part of the country is, whether or not you see as many young veterans as Philip and I do that are missing an arm or leg or a great shrapnel on their face. We see more than we want to see. Now, when I'm talking to the vets, the women tell me that, Bill, we can see a man missing an arm or a leg, shrapnel on his face. Excuse me, guys, throw out the tickle. We see a man missing an arm or leg, shrapnel, but we women can see into his soul. We can see a man based upon character. But let's flip the script. Bill, look at me. I got no legs. Are you going to take me dancing? Bill, I'm missing my arms. Bill, look at my face, Bill. So we have to deal with this kind of a false sense of bullshit here where we can look at a man vet and say, God bless you for a service, and yet we talk to the women vets and we're uncomfortable around them. Now, you and I are from a different generation, Philip, but still, I'm uncomfortable, and I know you are also, being around these women, and yet we bring them to our shop, we invite them to all activities and all that, because I have a lot of respect for the women. It's just, it's tougher for male society to accept our women coming back wounded. So we want to invite everybody on March 17th. I know you're a little bit out of my neighborhood and all that, but we are going to have a St. Paddy's Day parade. Philip, I didn't tell you, the first hour I'm going to have all Irish music. We've got an Irish band coming in, and then right after that we'll take a break and we'll have some regular rock and roll good stuff coming in there because I don't know much Irish music you can take.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me? Oh, fuck.
Well, I mean, you and I can take it. I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, the non-Irish people, like, how long is this going to be going on? So after about an hour of Irish music, we'll be kicking back to the regular stuff going on. And it's quite a good turnout so far. I was hoping a few hundred, but we're already way over that, and I don't know what's going to happen yet.
Yeah, and if the assholes show up, we just have to point to the mayor again.
There we go. I'm going to try to get the mayor to say a few words.
You know, I wanted to share with you, check this out. Let me find this real quick. Right here. No. Right here. It seems, Bill, I tried to get some information on this, but someone sent read an email and he forwarded it to me. Do you know Rick or Jamie Olsen?
No.
Okay, well...
I mean, we may know the faces. We don't know the names. So, you know.
They were given helmet tickets in Oceanside last weekend. And then the question was raised, that didn't the Oceanside police just stop writing beating tickets?
That's right. They were supposed to stop pulling them off just for riding down the road.
Right.
If they pull them over and they also added an illegal
ticket.
This guy
pulled over the woman.
Yeah.
And then the guy went around a block and he gave him one too when he came back around the block. They were stopped for illegal helmets.
So, well, with the steps, it's very simple. You got to go down to the police station like you and I do. Each of these men and women here, they got to go in and meet with the officer, get a ticket, maybe ask for the watch commander or the chief of police and say, let's talk about this issue because we thought, and you, the message was the police were going to stop writing tickets. So, what was that name there? Jamie and who's the
Rick.
Other one? Rick. Okay, hope you guys get enough. Wait, well, you don't have to go down there adversarial to the police department, but you have to go in and you have to confront them.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you guys can do that.
But yeah, everybody's involved in this now.
Okay. Let's see, Red?
Yeah, because the best case scenario, Bill, is the defendants get a transcript, either audio or typed, and a minute order, sometimes called the clerk's transcript, which has the name of the parties, judge, clerk, date, what documents were entered in the evidence, and a disposition. That's the net assigned declaration as to what happened at the traffic stop and what happened in the trial. The details relating to whether dot symbol, recall notice, or test results were considered as evidence compliance or not. We're going to consider a fresh ticket to be one which was written after 2009 when the CHP last threw in the towel and changed policy. We now have over 140 tickets to be considered by the judge, a little better than the 5 in Quigg versus CHP in 2007 and the 14 in the East Riders case. So basically, anybody gets a ticket, they need to get a hold of us.
They need to get that so we can make that one. I hope nobody else gets a ticket. If anybody else does, let's get that 140 up to wherever it is so let's bring all these tickets in here. I know you guys in different states that don't have helmets, you don't know, say, why we're wasting our time. It's not they're wasting our time. It's just one of our rights being taken. And the fact is the police agreed not to do it.
Right.
So now we got to stand.
And for future legal action is twofold. We will file an order to show cause in federal court, and each PD that wrote one or more ticket in the state will answer to the question. Here's the ticket you wrote. Here's the E-Riders injunction. What probable cause have you find in E-Riders did you use to make the arrest? We're also filing federal removal notice on the subject helmet tickets. The effect is that instead of prosecuting a traffic citation in traffic court, suddenly the officer finds himself in federal court defending his actions that violated his federal injunction and violated the citizen's 4th and 14th Amendment rights. No way for the cop to dismiss the ticket once he's removed to the federal court. He's caught. Leading up to his two-fisted punch, we have asked every PD in the state, there's 460 of them in California, including the CHP, for the number of tickets written in 2012. Copies of recall notices on helmets they keep on file. Copies of FMVSS 218 test results on file. And what legal documents they use to determine if a helmet is legal or not. The answers are unbelievably damning, but not one PD has the right, even if they don't write any tickets, for CVC 27803.
Okay, now, again, we're talking about an incident right here in Oceanside, but no matter what state you listen to us or what country, you got to understand, you have to stand up for your rights.
Yep.
You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to go in there yelling and screaming at the cops, because once you lose your temper, you pretty much lost the argument. But you have to decide whether or not your rights have been violated.
Because, Bill, you're absolutely right with that, but this is called the next generation of surveillance. I'd like you to see this because you didn't see it yet. But for those that have heard it last week, Nora, you'll enjoy this.
Surveillance. For the first time, we actually have permission from the government to show the basic capabilities. This is important for the public to know. That some of these capabilities exist.
Engineer Yanis Antoniadis designed the new sensor known as OPTIS. With 1.8 billion pixels, it's the world's highest resolution camera. Argus fits inside this pod that attaches to the belly of a UAV. But because much of the work is classified, we can't see the sensor itself.
Because we are not allowed to expose some of the pieces that make up the sensor, so you get to look at pretty plastic curtains.
Also known as wide area persistent stare, Argus is the equivalent of having up to 100 predators look at an area the size of a medium-sized city at once. This image was taken 17,500 feet above Quantico, Virginia, and covers 15 square miles.
This whole image is at a very, very fine resolution. So if we wanted to know what is going on in any spot along this image, say near this building at this intersection,
we can generate a moving image that shows what's going on in the area.
Simply by touching the screen, Antoniadis has opened up a window showing a detailed area while still maintaining the broader context.
And everything that is a moving object is being automatically tracked. The color boxes represent that the computer has recognized the moving objects. You can see individuals crossing the street. You can see individuals walking in parking lots. There's actually enough resolution to be able to see the people waving their arms, they're walking around, what kind of clothes they wear. And you could pick the location of where you produce these images anywhere in the entire field of view.
Antoniadis can open up to 65 windows at once and can see objects as small as 6 inches on the ground.
From even 17,500 feet, the white thing that you see flying around is Earth.
Argus streams live to the ground and also stores everything, 1 million terabytes of video a day, which is the equivalent of 5,000 hours of high-definition footage.
So you can go back and say, I would like to see what happened at this particular location 3 days, 2 hours, 4 minutes ago, and it would actually show you exactly what happened as if you were watching it live.
To create the world's highest-definition camera, Antoniadis needed to design a new imaging chip. But DARPA, the project's funder, wanted to move fast and keep costs down. So he borrowed technology that most people have in their pockets.
Inside this cell phone, right, we find a tiny little camera. So if you were to take off the majority of it, you'd be left with an imaging chip. If you were to take 368 of these and make a big mosaic out of them and start shooting images, now you have Argus.
Unlike the Predator camera that limits field of view, Argus melds together video from each of its 368 chips to create a 1.8 billion pixel video stream. This makes it possible to zoom in and still see tremendous detail. Whether Argus has been deployed in the field is classified.
I'm not at liberty to discuss plans with the government, but if we had our choice, we would like Argus to be over the same area 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not very easily achievable with manned platforms. This is where UAVs come in, and they're absolutely the perfect platform.
Argus may be mounted on an armed UAV like the Predator, a long-range platform like the giant Global Hawk, or a development craft called the Solar Eagle that may someday stay aloft for years at a time.
The U.S. Air Force right now has the ability to archive every single video that comes off of every single UAV. We're moving to an increasingly electronic society where our movements are going to be tracked.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the future is here and it doesn't look good. Just they got 150 planes up at any one time. What the hell they locked these people for? How come I don't know what's going on here?
I've been telling you for a few years now.
Crazy ass shit. Well, on a positive note.
Well, I will say one thing. The NRA in Illinois has gone to the legislation here to see about passing the law for all people in the state of Illinois to be able to carry public transportation.
Well, that would stop the crimes. Who the hell is going to rob a bus if there's 50 passengers and they all got a gun?
Exactly.
Yep.
I got no problem with people carrying guns and taxing them for it. I got no problem with the government selling drugs and taxing them for it. It's people's choices what they do with it. But I certainly would feel better if I was at a restaurant and it was being robbed and I could pull up my own gun. It might tickle again, everybody. Sorry. Take a good shot of this liquor here. Oh, no, it's Gatorade. Close. Oh,
but yeah, it's crazy.
Well, the surveillance is going to get worse as we know it. To a degree, we're not ever going to know 100%, you know, on the severity of it, but, you know, everything changes every single day. You know, the drones, we already know they're all in different sizes, you know, they can be everywhere, anywhere. And there's a shock jock out of New York that actually made his own drone, okay, and where only in the small area that he lives in Long Island, he will put it up in the air, you know, and he doesn't go to invade anybody's privacy. But when he tests it out and stuff, he is allowed to go 400 feet with his drone that he made. Isn't that crazy? So this only goes to show it's not just the government that can make these and pop them up in the air, but now that regular civilians can do the same thing. As long as they know that they cannot exceed 400 feet with their drone.
The 4 feet higher? Only travel up to 400 feet.
400 feet is as far as they will allow a civilian's drone to go. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Well, supposedly the shack jack can get away with it. As long as he doesn't invade anyone's privacy.
You know what happens, Bill, when we talk about the truth?
Well, first of all, people don't believe us.
If you gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, your orders are always followed. Why would Santiago be in danger? Why would it be necessary to transfer him off the base?
Santiago was a substandard Marine. He was being transferred.
Not what you said. You said he was being transferred because he was in grave danger.
That's correct.
You said he was in danger. I said grave danger. You said, is there any?
I recall what I said.
I should have the court reporter read back to you.
I know what I said. I don't have to have it read back to me like I'm writing to your orders.
Colonel?
Sometimes men take matters into their own hands.
No, sir, you made it clear just a moment ago that your men never take matters in their own hands. Your men follow orders or people die. So Santiago shouldn't have been in any danger at all, should he have, Colonel?
You snotty little bastard.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
I'll tell you what you went back! You cut these guys loose! Your Honor, you have murdered some kind of money transfer! Your Honor, you've doctored the law book! Damn it, Captain!
You don't have to answer the question.
I'll answer the question.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it?
You, Lieutenant Weinberg?
I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. That Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did!
I love that movie.
Oh. That Tom Cruise did a hell of a job, too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, that was credible. So, things are, but this is a good example. Things are going on every day we don't know. We're never going to know about. The government decides it has to keep things from us. It decides it wants to keep things from us. The CIA was on the TV, said that we are in 60 countries every single month. 6-0. 60 different countries. We have got covert operations going on, which is our young American men and women over there doing, well, we don't know what they're doing.
Ones that we don't have any altercations with, we still fund them. But yet they're still homeless here. There's still people that need help here, and we can't get it because the money's going everywhere else.
Yeah. We have these people in North Korea now that are letting off atomic bombs, and we are bribing them with more food and more supplies if they won't do that anymore. We are bribing them not to set off atomic bombs. Listen, they're starving to death. Let them starve to death for all I give a shit. So, but America has to say, if you promise to be good boys, we'll give you extra food and money and all that. All they're doing is taking that money and building up their own military, right, Philip?
That's correct.
Oh,
you know,
I'm depressed already.
You know, I know you were talking about this. We were hoping.
Oh, don't do this to me.
Wait. No, this is Mike's song.
Oh, okay.
They played Mike's song last
night. Oh, that we can deal with. That we can deal with.
On Monday night.
That we can deal with.
This is Mike P, the big homie, and this song is called I Am the Darkness.
Well, tell us what movie it was, TV show.
Well,
give him the whole thing.
It was by the Discovery Channel and The Devil's Ride.
Which is a joke.
Right.
It's not real, folks.
No.
Stupid.
Stupid, I heard from the background. Stupid.
I am the darkness. Suit 24 locked down. Far from home and nowhere, no town.
think that I give credit to Mike P.
Yeah.
All people enjoy the music on that. I absolutely encourage you, do not watch this program, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
You know, they had 1.8 million viewers the other night. A lot of people don't watch the show.
On the new promo, one of the things...
I don't watch it.
Don't.
Sorry.
It's just a... it is such an embarrassment. But I'm going to tell you right now, I do watch it, but I got to tell you what. It showcases so much of San Diego, which is so beautiful. I really enjoy the scenery. Of course, the bars, I know that. We know that bar. But the they had a big gang fight at the end of the show. 6-on-6. They went to the alley, and they were going at it. When they were all done, not one bloody nose, not one black eye, not one ripped shirt. I know. And they agreed to do it again sometime. I don't know about you, Phil, but I have a tendency to bleed all over my nose, and somebody always rips my shirt or something.
Yeah.
Six guys going on at 6-on-6 and to the death, and not one black eye.
And
the police said, you guys break it up in the alley, go home. Oh, such bad acting. If you do watch it, though, I hope you appreciate the beauty of San Diego and understand these are not our people. There may be some good people in the organization I've never met, but I'm saying as a whole, this is embarrassment to all motorcycles. Now, if I can clarify this, though, the Laughing Devils is a motorcycle club, but the Syndicate Mob, that is a made-up-for-TV program, all rights owned by Discovery Channel. So we understand that the people...
Yeah, because they bought everything from Numb Nuts
before
he got arrested. That's how he's using to represent himself with an attorney.
Because the fact the these guys are just actors acting, but the other club, the Laughing Devils, that is supposed to be a real club, and I don't know. Please, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please don't believe all of us in San Diego look or act like that. It's not reality.
The other thing I want to say.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I posted a thing on your wall for Bill to see, since he doesn't have an internet page, you know, like we do, in regards to the flu shots. I thought it might help him.
Okay.
Right. I'll give that one to you.
That's what the government wants to do.
Well, you know, the government's controlling my life so much that now they want me to understand... California Highway Patrol wants me to know how to split lanes safely. I know many of your states, we don't have a lane splitting, but we do still have in California. It's one of the privileges of living here. I know the very next state over is Arizona, and they cannot do it over there. But now, this is the news that just came out from CHP. They've been vague about lane sharing. We don't call it lane splitting. It's lane sharing. So this is what they want us to do. Check this out, boys and girls. Travel at a speed no more than 10 miles faster than the other traffic. Danger increases at higher speed. Okay, I absolutely agree with that. Number two, it is not advisable to split traffic when traffic slows to about 30 miles an hour or faster. Danger increases as overall speed increases. I agree with that. I have about a 45-mile-an-hour maximum when I split traffic. The reason being, if a car is daydreaming and drifts into my space, I don't have enough time to move. So for me, it's 45 miles an hour, and they're saying don't do it more than 30 miles an hour. Also, when I personally travel and I'm splitting the cars, I'm not looking at one car or the other car. I'm letting my peripheral vision handle that. I'm looking straight ahead and sucking my knees in tight. Number three. Typically, it is safer to split between the number one and two lanes. That makes good sense because I travel between the number two lanes anyway. There's no reason for me to be in the slow lanes. Consider the total environment in which you are splitting, including the width of the lanes. All right, now that is legit too because there are lanes in California bigger than other lanes. Size of surrounding vehicles, as well as roadway, weather, and lighting conditions. I don't see what lighting's got to do with it. Whether I'm splitting daytime or nighttime, I'm splitting. In bad weather, I'm very careful splitting traffic because I could slip a little bit. size of surrounding vehicles. I don't think that means anything. If I got two semis side by side, if I got two Volkswagens, that doesn't seem to bother me. Fifth thing they want us to do is be alert, anticipate possible movements by other road users.
Excuse me.
Some people are looking at the mirror when I'm coming up, and they're actually drifting towards the center of the lane. Now, I know they're not doing this deliberately. They're just kind of mesmerized the fact that they're doing 5 miles an hour, and I'm rolling by, like I said, up to 45 miles an hour. I'm not afraid of them, but I do try to keep an eye out. Now, the CHP has expanded explanation of these points on their website. Ooh. It also suggests following the 4 R's. Oh, my God. 4 R's of lane splitting.
Reasonable, responsible, respectful, be aware of all the roadway and traffic conditions.
Listen,
but,
I don't know.
But the thing I appreciate the most about this particular message from law enforcement,
yeah,
which I rarely do, is that it places responsibility in the hands of riders with logical, reasonable advice. What do you think? Does this make you want to move to California or what?
Okay, I'm not responsible or reasonable when I'm splitting traffic, and I understand that fully. I also understand the fact that as the years have gone on, lane splitting has become part of my life. The very first time it was legal, like everybody else, I was apprehensive. Traffic's doing 15 miles an hour. I'm doing 20, just splitting. Well, I got to get home, or I want to get home. I want to get to a bar. I'm going to roll at 45 miles an hour. That's my maximum speed limit. Now, there are guys that travel faster than I do. Not too many travel more faster than I do on the freeway.
No,
I think 45 is fast.
Unless the guy has been on his bike for a while, and then you want to, you know, bump him up at 60 to 75.
Well, we like to have a guy up front in our group that's got loud pipes, and we want him to go through first. The other cars on the freeway will hear the pipes before they see us coming. If the first bike gets through with the loud pipes, that we can all roll through.
Just don't mention who the guy is with the loud pipes, because they're still giving
tickets. No, that's true. That's true. He has no baffles whatsoever and all that. But that's our technique. Put the loudest bike up first, and we all roll through in single file, and we stay from front bumper to rear bumper. That's the best way we travel there. Now, I have been dinged, and you've been dinged. These things happen on the freeway. You can't live your life in fear. You want to come to California, California freeways are a mess. If you want to get a car, you want to travel bumper to bumper, that's your lifestyle. I want to get on the freeway. I want to roll. I want to roll hard. Now, 45 miles an hour doesn't seem too much, but when everybody else is doing 5 miles an hour or they're not moving at all, 45 miles an hour is pretty good.
We just got joined by Eunice.
Eunice out there tonight?
Yes, I'm here. How you feeling, Bill?
Thank you for asking. I'm doing much better. I actually had a cold that went right into the flu. And
yeah.
I've had colds. I never get a flu shot. And I want to tell everybody, my doctor said I was wasting my time if I did get a flu shot. He said what I need to do at my age is to get 15 minutes a day of fresh sunshine to get more vitamin D in my body. So I'm going to try to do that more often. Most of my riding is done at nighttime, but I'm going to tell you why. I work all day. I get off work, I got to go somewhere, it's nighttime. So unless you and I, when Philip and I go to Mexico, we'll be riding down the daytime the whole time, so I'll get more in my 15 minutes. But he said that's the best thing for my cold, actually.
Yeah, they told me the same thing, Bill.
Oh, good.
At least 15 minutes out in the sun, you know, every day. So that's what I try to do down here in Florida.
When I was young and vain, I used to wear my black cowboy boots, Levi's, and during the summertime, I never wore a shirt or a jacket. I wanted my long hair to flow. I wanted the women to appreciate the wonderful tan I had on my body, so I just wore, you know, no shirts.
Well, definitely.
I guess
definitely.
I'm not.
But I can't do that.
Well,
I did, I mean, for Christ's sakes, they'd be running out the door. You know, not to see me either.
No, again, I've told you before, and I don't know why you ladies forget that. When a woman is wonderful enough to share her bed with you, each woman is somebody special, somebody unique. Each woman is bringing to that bed something that only they have. The fact that that woman is willing to share herself with a man, that woman is special. That woman is fantastic. That's my opinion on that.
Well, thank you very much. I needed that uplift. And I don't mean my boobs either.
Yeah, and it's not Saturday either.
I know it. It was good.
Are we talking
to her.
About a St. Patrick's Day party?
Wait.
I was going to invite her to that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but you know, she
went. She went.
Ask her what a Saturday night special is, Bill.
Oh. Well, then, why would people know what your Saturday night special is, girl?
Well, I just lay over my side and lift my leg, Bill.
Oh.
Oh. Lot.
Now, said.
Yeah, see, Philip always finds these things out before me. I never find out. Always the last to know.
That's because we have such a good conversation on Tuesday nights.
I guess so, without me. Now that not that old poo Bill's gone, we can have some fun. Okay, I understand how it is. I want to invite you to our St. Patty's Day party, March 17th. Of course, I know it's a little out of your neighborhood and all that, but coming to a big benefit for the Warrior Foundation. This is when the military comes back from overseas. We're helping them get settled in, or if they don't come back from overseas, we're helping their wives and children get set up and all that. So we're going to have about 1 hour of Irish music, and then we're going to break right into it. I'll bring some rock and roll band in there, too, with that. So March 17th, I know I'm not quite in your neighborhood. You're not in my neighborhood, but ladies to know, you're all invited to the St. Paddy's Day Parade.
Well, you know we love
you
all. I will be there.
Sorry, do you mind if I ask you a question, Bill?
You can ask.
I can't make it to your event.
I like long walks along the beach. I like to be held after making love in front of the fire. What was the question? I'm sorry.
I don't have
Let's
a
get
fire
back
place,
to
but, and I don't. Yeah, I don't have one of those furry carpets either. But you know, okay, we ain't going there. Anyways. Since you're having the event at your shop, since I can't make it to your event, is it possible, do you have anything on your Kennedy Cycle page where somebody can send a donation that way?
Oh, you know, yes, you certainly can. We'll set something up for that real quick. I'm going to have the...
Donations can also be made online, Bill, at the www.warriorfoundation.com. The www.
Okay.
Hang on. I'm going to repeat it for you. The www.warriorfoundation.com or the www.freedomstation.org. Or you can email Sandy at thewarriorfoundation.com for info for both. You can also like them on Facebook underneath the Freedom Station.
Now, if you do wish to send me an old-fashioned check, you certainly can send it to Kennedy's Custom Cycles, but make sure you make it to the Navy League / Warrior or just
right.
The Warrior Foundation. I don't mind sending anything to my shop, but please never, ever put my name on a check. Let me know that. That way I know exactly where every cent goes to. Sorry again,
good
folks.
Show.
Yeah, well.
And we're going to have a special guest. Tell the ladies who the special guest is.
Well, I would love to. Oh, my God, Philip, you're so right. I'm sorry. We have an event here in California. It's called the, bear with me, I forgot already. Thunder.
Rolling Thunder.
Rolling Thunder. It's 5 hours of motorcycles where they come by. And we have a gentleman called the Saluter. He's quite famous all across America. He stands at attention. He's a military man. Stands at attention and salutes the 5-hour parade of motorcycles. He's asked to come down to our shop and be placed in such a situation where he will stand at
right
attention.
Here. This is it, right here.
Bill. Okay. He's going to want to come down to our shop and he wants to stand at attention and salute the whole time the party's going on to bring attention to the Warriors Foundation.
I'm going to put that.
So,
I'm going to put that link up in the chat room, Bill.
And then hopefully you can take some pictures too, and so people can see all that party going
right.
on.
That's great.
That's kind of a class act. This man's one way. He's just trying to bring attention to the Warriors. He's going to stand at attention for the whole time our party goes on. So, I certainly couldn't do that.
That's amazing.
We're going to
5 hours, he's going to do that.
Where's he going to go to the bathroom? I'm curious about that. Well, maybe.
Might have a little tube.
There we go. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
To take care of it.
Yeah, running down the lake.
How do you know he's got a little tube?
I'm talking about the tube that goes into the tube, Phil.
Wow.
You don't want a big one going into that big thing, so you want a little one so it's gentle.
We're looking at this gentleman right now, and he's standing in the middle of the road as these 5 hours of motorcycles. Philip, I can't see the rank. Is that E6?
Staff Sergeant.
Thank you very much. Philip knows his ranks real well. Once I left the military, believe me, I forgot all that altogether. But he's like a Marine's supposed to be, right? He's stiff as a ramrod or whatever they call that. What a person. Get some pictures of that wow. Unbelievable.
Okay,
what's the name on the Facebook page?
Freedom Station.
Freedom Station, okay. Thank you.
Phil, did Bill tell you about my little escapade in the hospital?
Well, hang on one minute.
No.
Wait.
I'm waiting.
You know, this right here, Bill, is 5 minutes of boot camp, which we've
I have a lot of respect for the Marine Corps. My God, every time we touch you, we go back to the base. Okay, do we get the Marine Corps hymn, too? I want that. Can we do that?
No.
I never understood that. I mean, just give me some directions. I'm an intelligent man. I can do it. No. I got to hear screaming and yelling in my ear and screaming and yelling. I don't know. Did you think that helped you screaming?
No.
Okay. I just want to point that out. You know, that's not a reflection upon that. That's probably what they think they have to do it. But I think I'm an intelligent enough man. Even though when I was very, very young, they could have just said, get off the truck, do this. I could do that just fine.
That would be good.
I want to share this with everybody since I got everybody here. Basic training was interesting for myself because when they would be nose-to-nose screaming in my face, talking about all this
BlackBerry
shit.
BlackBerry Enterprise Service 10. BlackBerry.
We're back. Okay. I would make direct eye contact with the drill sergeant. I would not lose eye contact, but what I would do is do tune-ups of my motorcycle. I would start with the front axle. I'd pull up there. I'd pull a spark plug out. I'd check, is that a gray spark plug? Is it a black spark plug? Is it a chocolate brown spark plug? Maybe I need to adjust my carburetor. I went from the carburetor. I checked my oil. I checked my transmission fluid. I checked my rear chain. I checked my bike. I did tune-ups over and over and over in my mind without losing eye contact with the drill sergeant. My theory was, you have my body, you do not control my mind. I never got emotional, I never got crazy, I never got happy, I never got sad. I kept telling myself, they only my body. Every time they get nose to nose and scream at me, I would just do tune-ups. That was my theory of surviving. Everybody's got their own techniques, I'm sure.
Yes, that's pretty cool.
Well, you know, Bill, it's just like
strange. You know that.
Pretty cool. So he didn't tell you about my hospital visit, huh?
No.
Wait, this is the other thing.
Phil's got more Marine Corps stuff. Hang in there, boys.
No.
It's okay. No, we don't mind.
This is
we don't mind, Philip. It's okay.
Hey! This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life. I must master it as I must master my life.
shoulder and arms.
Oh, God. Shoot. Did you guys sleep offset in beds like this?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, we have the Army here, and we have Philip in the Marine Corps. So, you know, my life was pretty easy. Philip had a hard life in the Marine Corps.
Oh, I got a good one for you, Bill.
Go ahead. Good. I want to hear the Marine Corps, you know, emblem. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Drop your
cuffs.
Stand your
side.
Hey, Sunday, divine worship. Get your bunks, mate. Get your uniforms on. Police hall will come out in 2 minutes. Private cowboy, private joker.
Sir, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir.
As soon as you finish your bunks, I want you 2 turns to be in the head.
Sir, yes, sir.
I want that head so sanitary and squared away that the Virgin Mary herself would be proud to go in there and take a dump.
Sir, yes, sir.
Private joker, do you believe in the Virgin Mary?
Sir, no, sir.
Private joker.
I don't believe I heard you correct. Sir, the private said no, sir, sir!
Are you a little maggot? You make me want to vomit! You goddamn confidence, either you had best sound off that you love the Virgin Mary, or I'm gonna stomp your guts out. Now, you do love the Virgin Mary, don't you?
Sir, negative, sir!
Private Joker, are you trying to offend me?
Sir, negative, sir! Sir, the private believes that any answer he gives will be wrong! And the senior drill instructor will beat him harder if he reverses himself, sir!
Who's your squad leader, scumbag?
Sir, the private squad leader's private Snowball, sir!
Private Snowball!
Private Snowball, what do you got on it, sir?
Private Snowball, you're fired! Private Joker promoted to squad leader!
Sir, aye, aye, sir!
Disappear, scumbag!
Sir,
aye, aye! Philip, now we know
that.
Yeah. Do you know, let Eunice tell your story about the hospital.
I would like to hear the story of the hospital, Eunice.
Well, I was kind of very sick, and my legs were like elephant legs, and I was having a hard time breathing because I had fluid in the lung. And I got upstairs about 9 o'clock, but they had this patient, a young girl, that was 2 doors down from me, and she kept ringing the nurse's buzzer. Not just once, Bill. She would hold on to it, so it'd go, beep, 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 beep. So they sent several people into her, and this went on until 5 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't sleep. And I was in excruciating pain, really. I really was. So I got out of my bed with my IV pole, with my Johnny on, open in the back. I didn't tell you that, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And walked up to her room and knocked on the door. And she said, come in. And I said to her, you know, everybody on this floor is sick. I says, I've been here since 9 o'clock, and I haven't got a wink of sleep. Could you please just stop ringing the nurse's bell? And she kindly looked at me as she was sitting up in bed, and she says, go fuck yourself. And I said, what'd you say? And she said, go fuck yourself. I said, let me tell you something. If I have to come up here again, I'm taking that fucking cord and I'm wrapping it around your neck. Do you understand me? And she looked at me, and I walked away. Well, the bell didn't ring, but that was at 5 o'clock in the morning. At 5:30, I get a knock on my door. And I told him to come in, and the pain was so bad, Bill, I couldn't put a sheet on my legs. Nothing could touch him. And who walks in but the sheriff's department? And they said, Mrs. White, did you go up to room 22D, I think it was? And I says, yes, I did. And he said, did you say to her about people being sick on the floor? I says, yes, I did. He said, did you also say to her that you would wrap that fucking cord around her neck? With that, Bill, I says, officer, would you please turn the light on? And he turned the light on, and he seen how bad my legs were, you know, and that I had snow white hair. And I said to him, do you think I would say something like that to her? And he goes, oh, no, ma'am, you know, and he walks out. So at 7:30, another sheriff's department would come up. And I finally said to him, you know, I'm a senior citizen. Never admitting that I said this now, Bill.
Right.
I says, I'm a senior citizen, and I want to make a complaint against this girl. You're the second officer that has come in here, and I'm very upset over this. So you tell her I want her arrested for senior citizen abuse. So he says, I'll take care of this. So he goes back, and the nurse went back with him. The nurse was in my room, too. And she came back and told us, and he said to her, to the girl, who do you think the judge is going to believe, you or Mrs. White, whose legs, her legs are swollen terribly, and she's a senior citizen? He says, and she wants to make a complaint against you. He says, but who do you think the judge is going to believe, you or her?
Christ.
So she says, all right, I'll drop my charges. But can you imagine that? I wanted to take that cord, Bill, and really wrap it around her fucking neck, you know?
Everybody in the hospital should have been going like this to you. Yay!
I'm telling you, I was so pissed. I really was. But the nurses come in a few days later and asked me, they said, hey, Eunice, we got a couple of people we'd really like you to take care of. Will you take the job on? You know, I said, oh, sure. Just call me anytime.
Yeah.
But I didn't admit up to it. I didn't.
Oh,
I
no,
didn't
no,
ask
no.
Him if he thought that I did that, you know.
You
and
just
I'm
told
sure
your story in the most positive way for you, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he said in the back of his mind, see that little old broad? I guarantee you she said that to her. But hey, that's the way life is, you know. But
you
can you imagine this?
And you got to stop people, stop bullies. If we had stopped Hitler way back when he first attacked Poland, or he first went into Austria, the world might be different. Europe would have been different. Nobody stopped him. That ride, if he hadn't stopped her, the whole wing would have had to listen to that ringing noise all night long. So sometimes you just got to step up to the plate and confront people. Whether you win or you lose, that's not the point. It's the fact you step up and confront people. I'm a very strong believer in that.
We talked to Hermes last night.
Bill. Yeah? How's he doing?
I guess he's going to have more surgery, and the doctor really screwed up on him, you know. It was good to talk to him. I haven't talked to him since November.
We've not talked to him in a while either, have we?
No. In fact, the last time we talked to him was on the air was November.
Yeah.
So he's doing better. He's taking his time. He's pounding out on the church. I had just got some good information from a friend of mine, from a friend of his, and it was all confidential information from out of the Vatican. And,
really?
The Boston Monster Cardinal?
Yeah.
Was he a cardinal in Boston?
Yes.
He's over there now. They're thinking about picking him for the Pope, and he's the guy to hit.
Oh, an American Pope?
No. They want to take the Pope out of Massachusetts, and they're thinking of making him the cardinal.
Right.
Cardinal law, you know.
Pope.
Yeah, America has never, ever had a Pope in America, and pretty much the Italians have had that thing like locked up for so long. The last guy, what is he, German?
Yes.
Steps down
and
next
he
month.
He is, and Bill, he is the first pope that has ever retired.
Right. Well, one other one. Yeah.
In the 600s.
There was another one in the 600s, I thought, yeah.
You know.
I tell you what, what the Catholic Church should be doing is they should be going to the countries where their religion is strongest, and that's in Central America and South America. They should be pulling in some type of a Latino to bring him in as Pope. That's the Church's strongest point there. We don't need another Italian. They're never going to let American in. I really believe that. They're never going to let American in there. But the Catholic faith in America has been on the decline for some time. They need to find out in Mexico, South America, wherever this faith is strong. That's where I think the next pope's got to be from. You got to draw from your strengths, not from your... And let's face it, the Catholic Church in America is slipping and sliding backwards.
Well,
Johnny
Garrett. Go ahead,
we just got a shout out from Seth.
Amigo.
He said, thanks, Bill, for getting back to biker topics. Lane splitting. Unless the cops are on a bike, fuck these fucking rules. They're not going to catch you anyway.
Yeah.
I got some respect for other people on the road. Get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah.
Laughing out loud. Don't get me started. Logging off. Have another obligation. Catch up with you boys soon. So, and he also said send him some info on March 17th.
Oh, good. Please. I hope you come down.
I'll do that.
You know, my friend San Diego, he and I, we love to be on the freeway and come into a CHP on top of the freeway, and we go by him like a bat out of hell. And the reason Seth just said, what's the cop going to do? Get out of his car and chase us? Not a chance in the world. I love to find CHP cars on the freeway so we can just blow by knowing there's no chance in the world. And nothing I'm doing is illegal. It's absolutely legal for me to share lanes. It just irritates the hell out of them when they do that.
So, it irritates the hell out of them when a car does it, too, when they switch from one lane to another and, you know.
Well, speaking of police,
go ahead. I got some
speaking,
words to
of police no, speaking of police and cars, you might want to tell Bill what happened when you were behind that gray van.
Jesus. Go ahead, tell him.
How come
no,
I don't? Tell I never know what's going on here.
You tell it better.
Well, the other day, it was last week. Was it Monday? Or last week. Last week, I think it was. And I was making a left. There was a van, gray van in front of me, Bill. So we're going to both take a left turn and go down this one of the main drags. And this car was making a right turn to go down the same lane, you know. So all of a sudden, I hear, get out of the car! Stop your car! Get out of the car! You know?
Yeah.
Wow. But I'm saying, what the hell did I do? What I did was I cut off this, I don't know if you call them a sheriff, a highway patrol. They wanted the van in front of me, but I was in their way, you know? So I pulled over, and then there was like two or three other unmarked cars that surrounded this van, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, they're screaming and yelling, and it was a woman cop right beside my passenger window, you know. And she's right behind me, her car is, rather. And I looked out the window, and there she is with her arms stretched out straight with her gun, and she's screaming, get out of the van, get out of the van, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I kind of looked at her, and she looked at me and shook her head for me to stay in the car, you know, for me not to get out of the car. So anyways, they get these two guys out. They were two black guys, and they had the sniff dogs come in and, you know, the whole nine yards, and they got them handcuffed and everything. So when it was all secure, she knocked on my window, and I rolled it down, and she says, are you all right, ma'am? And I says, no. And she said, do you want me to call an ambulance? I says, no. She says, well, what do you mean you're not all right? I said, I want you to know I pissed my pants. She goes, well, you got in our way. You know, I didn't know they were after somebody, but it was the most weirdest feeling in the world. And I did. I literally pissed my pants. When I seen her standing there with her gun out, with her arms stretched straight out, you know. But they got these guys, and she says the reason they wanted to get him as soon as he made the turn was so he wouldn't go up and down any of those streets. There were several streets there, you know. But I don't know how I get into these situations, Bill.
You know
really don't.
I got to tell you, I pulled up to a red light. There was a car in front of me, and this cop came flying up on me. Lights blasting, but there was a red light in the car, then my motorcycle, and the cops behind me, and their lights yelling and screaming, put your hands in the air, put your hands in the air. So I said, holy shit. So I put the bike in the kickstand, put my hands in the air, and they go, not you, biker, not you, the car in front of you. So they start yelling, not you, biker. Oh, okay. So I got my hands in the air. I don't know what the hell's going on. Cop pulls up behind me.
Wasn't that scary, though?
Yeah, because I figured, what the heck? I haven't done nothing wrong. I don't think so. But,
right.
Yeah, when they get the lights on and they got the doors open and they're, you know, they're threatening you with guns and, you know, put your hands in the air. Okay, I can follow basic directions. Not you,
oh, yeah.
Mike.
So they had, and after these unmarked cars came,
uh-huh.
The sheriff department, I don't know how many cars come up, but what they did was they blocked off the streets going down this long main highway, like, you know. And I said to him, can you please let me go down this road? I had to get home.
Yeah.
You know, I said, Jesus Christ, that would scare somebody. Good thing I had a bowel movement before I went out. That would have really been...
On the positive side, Phil and I probably get pulled over a little more times than you get pulled over, so it's not like anything quite new to us. So Larry,
no, it was new to me.
Not you, biker. Put your hands down. Okay, what the hell are you doing? The guy's in front of you. You're in the car. Get up. Okay. So actually, once I did that, I split into the oncoming traffic and went around, and the cop pulled up closer and all that. But I mean, Jesus, I haven't done nothing wrong yet today. I mean, I know when I've done something wrong. Like, Philip and I have these damn camera lights out here. Philip and I, they're going to get us. They're going to get us hard. We just cannot spend enough time at the red lights to make these cops happy.
Well, my son got sentenced last Friday. My grandson. And they gave him 3 years and one day.
Wow, that's kind of strange.
Yep. Well,
here's
in
one
other
day.
Words, he's got to serve the whole 3 years. He can't go up for parole.
Oh, okay.
And the time that he was locked up waiting for before we bailed him out, he can't use that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted him, the DA wanted him to do 10 to 20. Imagine that, 10 to 20.
So he agreed on the plea bargain?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we know the DA, thank God. We talked about him last night, but I wasn't going to say anything to Hermes. And he put my grandson in front of a woman judge, and he had never been in trouble before, ever. Always worked, graduated from high school, did a couple of years of college. And she told them, no, I am not going to give him 10 to 20 years. He is going to get 3 years in one day and then have probation for 3 years. So it was kind of really a good thing because he had stabbed this guy and I didn't realize it. We just found out recently, but they had to do surgery on this guy because he hit the esophagus.
Uh-huh.
And they had to cut him from the neck down to get in there to save him. So very lucky there, too. He could have died, and that was just one of those little pocket knives that you cut cardboard
right.
open with that,
yeah.
that he used at work, you know. But they let him go home for another week. He's going to report the 25th, and then he'll go. And then I got friends that are working on trying to just get him in probably a safe haven place because this kid's got... His family is very well connected, and that's why the bill was $10,000 cash, because they pushed and pushed. But you know what I say? This kid, and we had him checked out, has been a problem kid. He's only 19 years old, does a lot of drugs. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to bump up against the wrong person.
Right.
And, you know, so Andy admitted up to it, you know, to the judge, and he's, you know, he's really hot, Phil, and he says, I'll do my time, you know, so, I mean, he's not going away screaming, you know. He admitted it to the judge, and he says, I'll do my time, Judge. But I think they're going to put him under protective custody because the word was out that the kid cousins, he's got four of them that work at the jails. And they could easily turn their back. That's why I feel he was under protective custody until we bailed him out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, the court system is something that's a disaster. We have a friend of ours recently, just did 8 months in jail, and he pleaded guilty to drug charges when in reality he never sold 1 ounce of drugs in his whole life. But they went after him after RICO, I said this earlier in the show. They gave him on RICO charges because he's in the club, and he's a bad boy club. He was facing 20 years. They gave him a chance to settle for the 8 months on the drug-selling charges when he never sold any drugs at all, or go to court with the RICO charges with all the other guys that face up to 20 years. This guy just did 8 months. I'm not saying he's a saint. I'm not saying he's a choir boy. He's not any of those. But the guy did not sell any drugs, but 8 months in jail because plan B was to try to defend himself in court and face up to 20 years. We have so many people in prisons that settle for that. They take the plea deal, and you're crazy not to do it.
And that's what the lawyer said.
Like any drugs at all, and yet doing time.
That's what the lawyer said. They're going to make a... Well, he told him he was going to go away anyways, you know. But, you know, I give the kid a lot of credit because I don't know if that was me, I probably would have ran away, you know. But he had enough of respect for his grandfather and grandmother here that he knew that we put up all this money.
Yeah.
And it was a total of $20,000 we put up, 10 for the bail and 10 for the lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And but I got to tell you, he went and filled out his income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
He got them back, and he Friday when they were into court, he said to his grandpa, he says, "Grandpa, here's $1,300.
Right.
My income taxes, you know." And my ex-son-in-law stepped up and gave my husband $5,000. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's good that, you know, it shows.
Well, it shows you got a good, this kid's got a good family support. He's got a
right.
life net. Going to keep him straight in prison and all that. It's those guys that are doing time in prison when they have no family support at all. Those are the ones that have a tendency going to slip when they get out and do the same crimes again. He gets out of jail, family's going to stand by him. That's going to make the difference whether or not he's going to stay straight
and narrow. And that's what the lawyer said, having the grand. Well, I wasn't there because I'll tell you, Bill, I went through so much of that with my oldest boy who I lost, that was murdered, you know, in and out of the jails. And I'll tell you, the last time I seen Glenn in jail, they strip searched me. And
right.
they did a cavity. Yeah, is that what they call it, when they go up the rectum?
Yeah, cavity search.
Yep. And I went into him and I told him, as much as I love you, I will never, ever be that humiliated again.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't go back to see him. You know, I just couldn't. And I was the faithful mother that was there every day off that I had, you know, and supporting him. And I hate to tell you what my phone bills were. They were outrageous because at that time they had a call collect, you know. And that was in the...
You know, family visit stations, family visits are hard because when the family leaves, the person in jail sometimes gets extremely depressed.
Right.
It's tough not only on the family, it's tough on the man or woman in jail. You get so excited waiting for them to come. You visit with the family, and then when they go home, you go into a new low. You go so damn low, knowing that it could be months before another family member might come. And even then, seeing the family, you know, it's a source of embarrassment. Made a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Through my time, but I got mixed feelings on that visiting family, where some guys say, I don't want any family to come visit me. Some cases, that may be the best bet.
Well,
it's very tough to be in prison and be talking to your family. And
you know, something it is, because Glenn used to write me a letter
right
after he got back, because when we left, they had to go through a strip search all over again. The guys, you know, they did a strip show, you know.
Make sure you didn't smuggle anything in, sure. Yeah.
Right, and I found out why they did that. Someone told one of the guys or something like that I was bringing drugs into my son. Mm-hmm. You know, and they told me right then and there, if I didn't allow that strip search, you know, I didn't have to agree to it, mm-hmm. but that I could never come in and see him again.
Right.
And I, and so that's why I allowed it to happen, you know. But,
well, there's many ways in prison to make money. Strong arm extortion is one. Of course, tobacco, alcohol, making alcohol, cell phones, bringing drugs in. And some people in jail, they actually utilize their family to bring these illegal items in there, and that's how they're making their money. So it's tough all around. I like letters. I like the letter writing. I think that's always a very positive idea. But one-on-one visitation, it's tough on the family. It's tough on the inmate when you leave. And he or she goes back to her little tiny cubicle in the Great Depression. Whereas I think letter writing is a wonderful way to interact with the family because you can be emotional, you can be everything, and you can reread a letter over and over if you're in jail. Whereas a visitation, right. A visit is just one time and all you got is your memories, and that's not always a good thing to have.
Well, back then, too, you know, you couldn't send them money through the mail.
Correct, yeah.
You know, and you can't do that now either. You have to use your... Because when I went to visit my grandson,
mm-hmm.
we had to go to this machine and take it out of our debit card, and it was automatically transferred into his account.
Right,
you
right.
know? So they don't do that anymore. I mean, if you send a check in that, they don't accept it.
No, I didn't know that. Huh.
Yep, that's something new in the system.
Well, see, I'm not. It's been a long time since I heard or anything about the prison, so it's been a long time for me.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, you know, this was just last year that I went up and I wanted to give him money, and I had to use the debit card and put it into. He had an account number that I could put it into, you know. So,
right, or you can do Western Union. Western Union puts it in, like, within a matter of, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, but that's expensive.
Yeah.
You know,
it really is.
But, you know, unfortunately, the state has to get a kickback.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, they do.
They have to get something.
Oh, yeah, they charge. You're right, because they charge my account $2 for doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if you had your landline, now I don't have a landline. I finally got rid of mine. I found it to be ridiculous. I have two phones. Anyways, if you have a landline and you want to be able to communicate with him, it can be set up. There's a certain phone service that is directed with the prisons, okay?
Yeah.
And
yep.
You have to pay so much, you know, or have so much money on your account in order to be able to receive the collect calls. But it lets you know each time, you know, how much you have left. I did that with a friend of mine. I was like, this is ridiculous. What is wrong with this system? But, you know, unlike you, I live in Crooked, Illinois. So, you know, all the money that bleeds out of us goes into the politicians' pockets, and more of them are going to jail.
Yeah,
the congressman, you know, going to federal court. He's going to be, him and his wife are going to have federal charges against them. I mean, I would tell anybody, do not move to this state. It's crazy. You know, all the politicians go to jail at some point. But anyway,
you know something? They all go to jail. You got the same thing in Massachusetts. You know,
but the sad thing is, you know, states like ours, they get raked so bad. And
now I know why Philip didn't move back to that state.
Well, you know what? If I was able to, I would have been out of here forever ago. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. But point being, you deal with it, or you got to fight. You know, my taxes are so insane because I live in the county with the highest taxes. My taxes are higher than yours in California and in New York. Hello?
No, go ahead. We'll just see if somebody answers the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's Philip. He's crazy with the machine again.
I know.
I watch that weather report every day. Like, I two people back
I'm
in the East Coast.
You. We got a winter storm coming in. Oh, it's already starting, but.
I don't know.
Massachusetts.
It's our first. Yeah, they got hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get hit.
The good thing
badly,
is,
too.
With us, this is our first snowstorm all season. We haven't even had, like, 3 inches of snow up until.
Three inches
in
what?
Now. Of snow.
Oh, snow.
In the whole winter so far. You know, this is our first major storm. Ooh, it's impressive.
Philip, how far is Julian? Is it 40 miles?
50? Yeah.
We have a town 40 miles from Philip and I, where Philip and I live, called the town of Julian. They got 10 inches of snow up there.
You pay $14 for an apple pie.
You know, it's supposed to be the best apple
pie
in the world.
Oh, my God.
People wonder about how far are you guys from the snow. 40, 45 minutes, and we've been all the snow we want. We just choose not to be there.
Yeah. And that apple pie is, about as big as a large pizza.
Yeah. You know, also, actually, from we could stand outside in your front door, for example. We can see Palomar Mountains. We see Laguna. We see Big Bear. We see 3 different mountain range full of snow if we want. Within just quick distance, we just choose not to go there. I want to just look at the snow from a distance and go, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
You two are crazy.
You know, you have to understand this, though, because, like, where I live and, like, where Eunice has her home as well, of course, you know, we have all 4 seasons. It's different than what you guys have, in the form of we get snow, not only in a mountain. We don't have mountains here. But what's nice about it is you can make snowballs, throw them in the plastic store bag, throw them in your deep freeze, and come summertime. Now, our summers can be very, very hot. Have you ever been to Louisiana?
Of course we have. Yes, I have. I've been to New Orleans.
Okay.
I've been all over there.
Right, so you know the humidity of the heat. Okay, that's what we get here in Illinois. It's very, you can get out of the shower, walk outside, and you're sweating. But what's nice, I take then what was the snowballs that turned into ice balls out of the freezer and use them on your pressure points.
Oh, okay.
When it's 110 degrees outside. You know, because it takes it so long to melt, and it's like, you feel so much better when you're outside.
You know, I never thought of doing that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to know something? I'm not up there in the winter.
Right.
You know, so I got the best of two lives. What can I say?
Well, you're lucky, but like I said, with me, you know, I deal with it every year, and I find that to be, it's great. People look at me like I'm odd, you know, how'd you get snowballs? I mean, in the wintertime, I always do. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, instead of using a washcloth that you got to keep throwing in and out of the freezer, you know, you pull out a you know, snowball, stick it to your neck or put it on your wrist, and it's instant relief. Works for us. You know, because you have to understand, if it's 98 degrees here, it actually feels like it's 114 degrees. You know, it gets really hot.
One of my jobs I did was I installed telephone poles in the state of Georgia, and I used to take salt tablets in the morning and salt tablets at lunch to try to keep the sweat inside me and all that. So, yeah, I'm used to heat. I'm used to living in it, and I had to leave Georgia alone. It was just too much for me.
Yeah, it is. It gets to your body. You know, like I go through so much water, you know, during the summer. It's crazy compared to what I do during the winter, but it's just one bowel right after another. You got to stay hydrated so you don't dehydrate.
Salt tablets at all?
No,
do you take
salt
tablets at all?
No, I'm on blood pressure medicine, so I have to be careful with certain things. I don't know if you can take salt tablets when you're on blood pressure medicine.
Yeah. When I was a youngster in Georgia, we couldn't live without salt tablets, and I kept thinking, I've got to get out of here.
Well, you know what? You can,
you can always drink quinine. Good work. I could work or do anything.
Quinine water works the same. And a lot of guys from Vietnam use quinine water, you know?
Well, guys, I've had a very busy day today. I have not stopped since 10 o'clock this morning. I worked until 6, and then I had a meeting that I had to run. So,
try starting at 2:30.
In the morning? Yeah, okay. I know. You get up. Yeah. Phil, I know.
Yeah, he gets up early, and a lot of times that's when I'm going to bed.
I roll out of bed about 8 o'clock and try to get to shop around 9:30. That seems to be the civilized thing to do.
Right.
Wow. You're a late sleeper.
There's nothing happening 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning for me. There's no reason at all.
It's just like when people want to invite Bill to a run in the morning.
Don't get him up early.
Those exact words are, if it's before 9 o'clock, I'll be there later.
Yeah.
Why people to this day constantly invite me on morning runs? It ain't going to happen. Now,
right.
You want to play with me, you want to hang out all night long, I'll do the best I can, I'll stay up, but I just, once I'm in bed, there is no impetus for me to get up and jump on that cold motorcycle and jump out. No. First of all, I need two things. I need the sun to come up because it gives me light. But then I need the sun to give me heat. It's going to be a two-pronged program. The sun has to give me heat and light before I go. The sun giving me light is simply not enough for Bill Kennedy. The way it is, guys. I'm just kind of my own way.
Right.
I can handle the best I can.
Good night, my friends.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Eunice.
Listen, I'll fall asleep here. And I did that one night and fell on the floor. And
I know,
and you
were snoring.
Yeah, so.
Hey, do you have you don't have a bumper sticker on your car, do you, Eunice?
Before you go?
For what?
A bumper sticker. You don't have any bumper stickers on your car,
no.
Do you?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good, because, you know, bumper stickers now are probable cause to pull you over.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, you can just throw a cigarette out the window down here and you're in trouble, so.
It's $1,000 fine here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
What?
$1,000 fine.
Wow. You know, there's a car. It's, from the 70s. And this car is decorated with nothing but bumper stickers. I kid you not. I don't think there is not an open space on the body of that car does not have a bumper sticker on it.
You know, everybody's got to have a hobby, but that's a little bit strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he got on his stand in Illinois.
The guy that he crazy glued pennies to his Jeep.
The whole Jeep's covered in pennies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're thinking, get a real hobby, you know?
Yeah. Well, Bill, you have to understand, look at who you're sitting next to. He came from the same state as me, okay? Now,
yes.
I'm normal, but he's not. You understand the concept? Yeah.
He is not even a tiny bit normal.
Well, that's why we love him so much and want to protect him.
Wait, listen, just because I said something about bumper stickers and all probable cause, not one fucking word about a lack of probable cause. If these cops had pulled me over for a bumper sticker, shit would have gotten real ugly.
Yeah.
Well, do you
have a
Marine? Okay. You have a good night, Eunice, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Yep.
Okay. Bye-bye, Eunice.
Right. Yeah, bye-bye, Bill. Be careful.
Thank you, darling.
Okay.
So what? Give me this bumper sticker. If they pull you over for bumper sticker, what's that? Wait a minute.
Here's what happened. There's a husband and wife were driving home to Plano, Texas from Columbus after attending the mother's funeral. When a pair of black SUVs stopped a couple a few miles outside of Memphis. Knowing I wasn't speeding, I couldn't imagine why, the man said. They were very serious. They had body armor and guns. On the back of the car was a Buckeye leaf decal similar to the ones players have on their helmets. Ohio State Buckeyes.
Right, yeah.
And Cox mistakenly thought it was a marijuana leaf. Yes, really. What are you doing with a marijuana sticker on your bumper?
That's all it is. That's all they needed, yeah.
To me, if there must be trouble, let it be in my day that my child may have peace. Who said that?
I do not know.
If there must be trouble, let it be in my day.
Jefferson?
Thomas Paine.
Well, Paine, Jim, that's close enough. You know. It was one of those revolutionary guys. I figured that part out on my own anyway. Paine, Jefferson, what the hell?
Well, now, what if you had a Marine sticker on your vehicle since you served in the military? Will that give them probable cause? Pretty much anything can be ascertained as probable cause,
as we know over the course of the years, is whether or not it'll stand up in court, and that's where we...
Well, you know, Bill, it won't stand up in court because...
What?
Police lie under oath.
No, stop that.
Police lie under oath.
Say that one more time.
Police lie under oath, Bill.
When the hell did that happen? Is that new?
Their testimony, yep.
Yeah, that's new.
That must be new.
Their testimony shouldn't be trusted more than any other witness.
No kidding.
Thousands plead guilty to crimes every year in the United States, Bill. You know why? Because the odds of a jury believing their word over a police officer are slim to none. As a juror, Whom are you likely to believe? The alleged criminal in an orange jumpsuit with two well-groomed police officers in uniforms who just swore to God they're telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but? Or one of my colleagues recently put it, everyone knows you have to be crazy to accuse the police of lying. But we got it on tape in the courtroom.
That's right. We're not saying we're adversarial against the police. I repeat this over and over. It's those cops that abuse their bar authority. That's what Philip and I need to call into a challenge.
Exactly, which I understand. As point being, today it was proved that a cop lied and was charged. There you go. Because the jury did not believe a cop. Gee, I wonder why. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there are some justices to it, even though a lot of them get away. My thought.
Yeah. Again, you shouldn't be afraid of the police department. You shouldn't be afraid of the court system. It's just something that you're not used to being. When you go into court, I tell everybody, you walk in and just be who you are, be yourself, and you get the best chance.
Well, tell them what you said to the attorney.
Oh, shit. Okay. There was a big scene in the... These two motorcycle clubs had a beef, and they went at war, and one club asked me, could I intercede and facilitate some type of a little meeting to bring this to a halt? And I said, yeah, sure. So I set the meeting up, and just for my, and we negotiated everything, but just because I set the meeting up, I was pulled into court, and they charged me with, what'd they give me on the...
They didn't get me because I'm a loose cannon.
Shit, they got me, they started with... trying to influence the...
Influence and racketeering.
But there was something else to forget right now. So anyway...
Oh, my God.
It's 2 days of my being in the jury. I had 7 lawyers against me and everything. Every single thing was... What they were trying to say to me was convince the judge that my actions, every time I help two motorcycle clubs prevent from going to war, I'm stopping the police from having these people arrested. And therefore, the police were taking me to court as an example of what not to do and how I'm influencing the people, how I'm... there was all kind of charges against me. Nothing stuck. When I was all over, boys and girls, and you got to hear this, 7 lawyers faced me, and when I finished up, I walked over to the big conference table, and I said, only loud enough for the lawyers to hear, I said, guys, when I came in, 2 ladies here, I said, guys, don't... When I came in, how come only I swore an oath to tell the truth? Not one of you lawyers swore an oath to tell the truth. And one lawyer said, Bill, lean forward. I leaned down. He said, do you really expect lawyers to tell the truth? And I said, thank God I got one person honest enough to tell me that. 2 days in court, charged me with all kind of bullshit, and they told me at the end that if I had been up in Compton, if I had been doing some type of facilitating between the Bloods and the Crips, possibly the city of Compton, what they would do is give me a plaque saying what a great person I am for the work I'm doing. But because I'm involved in a motorcycle world, the cops went after me with full everything they could. I don't want to display the picture, but they did everything they could. In the end, every single cop said, you know what? We believe that you do what you think is the right thing to do. We do believe that. And the judge believed it. All the RICO charges were dropped. However, they said, we still want you to stop doing it. Well, I'm 64 years old, March 13th, and I've been doing facilitating between motorcycle gangs for over 30 years. And what I'm doing is I think I'm doing my small bit to help my motorcycle, no, to help my community better. And I'll be damned if anybody's going to tell me how to live my life. If I'm not breaking the law, you can't do nothing. But they came after me with great guns, and how many different agencies came after me. Remember, we're not talking about just one.
They even sent guys in the next 2 weeks after that to ask you how to get, how to prospect.
Yeah. They also went to my house.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hope my wife's not listening. You got to hear this one. So I'm at work. They raided my house. My wife answered the phone. She's the wheelchair. You know, come in. Blah, 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 Mr. Kennedy, da, 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 da. And my wife looked him right in the eye and said, he didn't do it. He wasn't there. And the cop says, what didn't he do? Where wasn't he at? She goes, oh, I'm sorry, I can't talk anymore. When I came home, she goes, I snapped Bill. I said, you didn't do it. You weren't there. I said, honey, you don't have to say nothing. I told her the whole story and all that. We met with several lawyers. They caught me all their time, and they prepared me for court. But I really believed, and maybe naively, but I believed because I did nothing in my mind wrong. I don't want a lawyer defending me. I want to explain the way I do things, the way I did it. 2 days in court, not a single charge lasted. Because I was helping other people, they could do that.
Yeah.
I committed no crime. As I help people stop killing each other, bam, try to put me away. Or maybe just give me probation. I don't know. Never went that far, though. But we had two. Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, and I thought, you know, but each of us has some kind of odd story. I had somebody actually come to my home, ask me to take something out of my computer.
Well, they could never ask that of me because they know I could never use a computer, so that never worked.
Well, no, but I mean, it had nothing to do with anything except for me. But it was like, are you kidding me?
Well, you know, it's like this. It's at the end of the day, and you did nothing wrong, and you should not be afraid to speak the truth. As we each stand up, we'll empower others to do the same, and together we'll get there, so...
Philip and I have said that over and over and over. We're not trying to convince the world. We're not trying to change the world. We're just standing up for what we think is right. And if another person out there likes what we're doing, maybe he or she can stand up in her town and just strike a blow for freedom, strike a blow for honesty, and not be intimidated by the law enforcement and the courts. It's pretty intimidating. I admit that. Mm-hmm. But you got to stand up for your rights.
Well, that's like when we got interviewed that one time, and they said, basically, we don't want to talk to him. We want you because he's a loose cannon.
Well, you do get a little bit aggressive.
No,
must be that Chicago
me.
Thing going.
Not me.
Hey, all of us are not, well, okay, yes, we are. We are aggressive. But you have to understand, if you lived in our state, you would be aggressive as well. You know, it's no fault of our own.
Theory.
But it's society,
how it is. Tell us your Chicago theory, Phil.
Here's my theory. Call the cops at your own risk. What would you dial up a known criminal like a murderer or a rapist to come and help you after you've been a victim of a crime? No. Then why in the world would you call the police after you've been assaulted, robbed, or otherwise violated?
Mm-hmm.
The police do not consider it their job to protect you. They used it at least to pay lip service to keeping the peace, but nowadays in the U.S., it's clear the job is to enforce the law. In fascist communist America, the law stopped being about your protection decades ago. The law is about the expansion of state power and control. That's why there's so many of them, and there are more coming all the time.
It's revenue.
Yep.
It's all revenue. I understand
that.
See, the overseer rode around.
Well, I got something for you.
Well, the overseer rode around a plantation. The officer is patrolling all the nation. The overseer could stop what you could stop you what you were doing. The officer would pull you over just when he's pursuing. The overseer had the right to get ill, and if you fought back, the overseer had the right to kill. The officer has the right to arrest, and if you fight back, they'll put a hole in your chest.
You know, when I was in court in this bullshit, I would speak to the attorneys.
Well,
and then I would
tell them when he went in there and what happened with the judge.
Oh, you must know by now, boys and girls, I don't mind speaking anywhere, everywhere. I walked in and I said hello to the, well, I don't want to say the club, they were
no.
You know, we said hello to all them first, and I said hello to all the attorneys. I went to the jury. I said hello to the jury members. I went around. I said hello to the judge. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I sat down. The person before me must have been a short person because the microphone, it was set up wrong. So I said, Mr. Kennedy, go, wait, no, no, stop. I got to get this chair set up right for me. I got to get the system set up right. So I'm getting everything. I go, Your Honor, I'm ready to go. The judge said, I have never seen anybody make an entrance like that in my life, Mr. Kennedy. This could be interesting. But during the course of the bullshit stuff I underwent, I would address the attorneys, and then I would swivel my chair, and I would talk only to the people in the jury. And then I would swing around, and I would address the judge only. I want to make sure everybody in that courtroom understood what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and I want nobody to go to sleep. Everybody's got to pay attention when I talk. At the end of the second day, I knew the jury was 100% on my side. I believe the judge was 100% on my side. Now, these seven attorneys they had up against me and all the cops and all that, and the cops are making faces at me. Can you, this is hilarious. You're making faces at me. That's not going to impress me, boys and girls. But at the end of the second day, when even the lawyers said that, you know, we got nothing on you. You're going to continue to do what you want to do, but we insist that tell the judge that we want you to stop doing that. And I said, no.
Didn't the other guys come and see you after that, too?
Well, the other guy had all kind of stuff going on. I had all kind of stuff going on. But again, here I am, an American citizen. I'm being brought into court because of the action I'm doing to help other people from committing violence towards each other. And they said they were going back 30 years. And then they said, we've been close to Mexico, so I've gone across the border in Mexico many times, and I've dealt with the Mexican gangs and brought truces down there. So they try to get me on international problems. And I said, no, it's not international problems. I'm bringing peace internationally. And they said, if this was Compton, they would give me a plaque. They'd give me some type of an award for a citizen helping the community. But because I'm a biker getting involved in the motorcycle community, they're going to continue to try to prosecute me. I'm not going to tell you all the things I said in court because it was a long, long, well, it was 2 days, folks, so, you know. The point was, though, that just happened a year ago. I could have just given in and just said, okay, I'll never do that again. But then how do you look yourself in the mirror? You've got to stand up for this country. Okay, sorry, enough of that then.
No, that's okay.
I haven't told this story too much because I don't want it to sound like something I did great. Phil talked about it because when the government went after me, I stood up for my rights. That's all I did. A lot of people said, well, just go along with it. No, I can't go along with it. I've done nothing wrong, and as an American citizen, as a taxpayer...
No, I know where they are. They throw the spin on you and jam you up for...
Well, they tried. Oh, my God. That's why I'm glad they got me, not you, because they would twist things, and you have to listen to what they say. It's pretty easy in court, folks. They say something, you have to listen. And you have to say, what is it they mean to say? What is it they want you to say? What is it am I going to say? So each question does take a moment or two hesitation. You can't just blurt out the answers, no matter how much they push you, because they try to say the question in such a way you come off looking bad or illegal. You got to hold off for a second and say, I know what they want me to say. That's not what I want to say. This is what I'm going to say. So it was 2 days of, 2 days of court, and how many different agencies came after me?
Yeah.
Not one credible charge.
Nope.
Nothing. Seven lawyers faced me. For what? Only because I'm a biker doing what I think helps the motorcycle community. And even in the end, I think most of the cops really say, you know, at least you got to give Mr. Kennedy respect for what he's doing. So, who knows?
Bravo.
We don't always tell everybody all the stuff we're doing because sometimes it sounds a little bit too bizarre.
Right.
And Philip and I, we've said over and over, the message is more important than us, the messengers.
That's correct.
So we're not here to stroke our own ego and all that. We're just here to tell people, this is what we do. Hopefully other people step up to the plate and they will try it in their own hometown. You know, people say, well, a lot of people ask me very quickly why I go to Mexico so much and why Philip goes to Mexico. I know this is not St. Patrick's Day, but I'm going to round off this real quick here. During the potato famine, we came to America, my great-grandparents. Not everybody came to America, and do you know why? Because we had an event that happened in America in 1864. I probably got the year off. I think I got it right. It's called the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Civil War was fought over states' rights, but a lot of it had to do with slavery. We Irish, coming from Ireland, we had faced 300 years of oppression of England having this boot on our neck. We were not allowed to speak the Gaelic language. We were not allowed to own any land. We had absolutely no rights whatsoever. In many cases, we were sold as slavery to some of the other countries in the Caribbean and all that, sold as slaves. So many Irish did not come to America because of slavery. After the Civil War, we Irish, we came to this country, the greatest country in the whole world. That's why every World War I, World War II, Irish always fight for this country. But before the Civil War, many Irish went to Mexico because Mexico has never had slavery, and they just said we couldn't live in a country where slavery was. Once we did away with slavery, Irish poured into this wonderful country here. So that is why Philip and I, in fact, just for example, my last name is Kennedy. On Revolution Street, the main street downtown Tijuana, there's three Kennedys. If you go down to three different store owners, if you go down to La Bufadora down in Ensenada, there's a Kennedy camp. There's so many Irishmen living in Mexico that came there before the Civil War because of the fact they didn't want to come to America because of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Little known fact, but it's true. But once slavery was gone, God damn, we're coming to America. So, we're trying to find something over here. Melrose Park, is that anywhere your neighborhood is? Are you familiar with that area?
Yes, that's not far from me. Yes.
Not far? Oh.
It's just north of me.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
Why, are you coming out?
No. Why don't you read that?
Oh.
Did something happen out there?
Well, we just had we just got a hot brief that the Illinois cops are forming a biker gang. On duty, they're police officers who took an oath to enforce the law. Off duty, they formed a motorcycle club that looks like it supports an outlaw biker gang.
Oh, yeah. I actually came across them. And very odd. They're really big. It's crazy. I've never seen anything expand so fast. But they show themselves to be one percenters. Like, how does that work? Do they get the RICO?
If they show
to be one percenters?
Yeah. Well, actually, I got to tell you, right here, the policemen have got a lot of gangs out here, and they are under investigation. I do give the Bikers Task Force credit for that. They are all over the cops' motorcycle gangs. They're up their asses because there's some tough boys, there's some tough cops, and they
The assholes that were at that event a couple years ago, and the guy said, we're harder to get into than the CIA.
Yeah. There was an event in my shop a while ago. This whole bike club, there was a lot of bike clubs there. This police bike club pulled in there, and they brought no ladies with them, so they're ready for anything that happens. They're walking around. I finally had to go outside and get to the president, and I said, how do you do? I'm so-and-so. He goes, how do you do, Mr. Kennedy? I said, can you show me where the valve stem is? He said, valve stem for what? The valve stem in your chest so I can let that air out of your chest. Why don't you guys just lighten the fuck up, relax, and mingle? Why do you got to all walk around with your chest puffed up? None of you got old ladies with you. Everybody's ready for a fight. Is this what you want here? Well, no, Mr. Kennedy, we don't want no trouble. But you're walking around with the attitude. Every time we get a bike club at our shop, I have the same problem with that. Now, there are a few good clubs out there, but the cop clubs, they're under tough investigation, too.
Yeah, I wish they would do that here, because there's so many of them. And, you know, a lot of them, they step out of that bound, you know, for no apparent reason. I had a Chicago cop, and you have to understand, we have two airports here. You know, I live closer to a smaller one, which it's 7 miles from me to Chicago proper.
Right.
Okay. And a Chicago cop actually rolled up in my driveway and was trying to hit on me. I'm like, who the fuck are you and why are you in my driveway? He goes, I'm a Chicago cop. I'm like, where's your badge? Well, I don't have it with me. And I said, well, then you're not, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And, you know, I actually found out later through a friend of mine, I said, I need this checked. You know, can you check this out? Sure, sure. It was a Chicago cop. But I'm like, that takes balls. Who rolls up in somebody's personal driveway to do that?
It's a good cops and bad cops. And again, I'm telling everybody over and over and over, Philip and I, we are not adversarial against the police departments. It's only those officers that certainly abuse the authority. Big organization right here in Oceanside, North County, where they've been told that they're not allowed to go to my shop. They're not allowed to be seen shaking hands with me, and they're not allowed to put their arms on my shop because it gives the impression that these cops are connected with me. They're not connected, for Christ's sake. If they're so paranoid they don't want to shake my hand and put their arm around me, that's okay. I didn't want to shake their hand anyway. But that's the crazy world we live in. They're so paranoid they don't want to be seen shaking Philip or my hand. And don't want to put their arm around their shoulder, because after all, you know what people they're like, Bill and Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what,
if I don't like it, tough shit. You know, I mean, I was intimidated in my own house not that long ago over something that had nothing to do with anybody but myself. And you know what? I just sat there. I was in awe. I'm like, I can't believe this just took place.
Exactly. Well, you know, boys and girls, it's pretty close. A second. My stomach is rumbling.
We're going to let Everlast take us out with what it's like, Bill.
There you go. Listen, everybody, thanks for calling in tonight. I've been off for a couple of weeks on the weather and all that. It's good to hear everybody's voice. It's good to know some people cared about me. I appreciate that very much. Good night, all my friends.
Good night.
Good night.